Love. Love is a gift from God. And at first reading, we might think that this text is so simple to understand. It's all about love. It's all lovely. And God is love and everyone loves one another. So that's lovely, isn't it? If we just take these things at face value. But God's love is challenging. It's not straightforward and it's not simple. And it's not to be taken lightly. To receive God's love, to sign up for it, to walk with God in this life is costly. It means that receiving this amazing gift from God will challenge you to the very core. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to be bold today and say, maybe you haven't fully grasped all of what is on offer. Love is such an interesting and diverse word. 27 times it's mentioned in the verses from 7 to 21 in that reading that Ben read from us. But love in the English language is such an overused word, and it doesn't go anywhere near to describing the real meanings of how it is written in the Greek. An understanding who God is. Four letters, one word, love. It doesn't describe enough who God is. The Greeks have six different meanings for the word love. I'm going to put them up on there as we have a look in and see a little bit about God's love. Firstly, we have, if I can pick them out in the right words, eros love, a sexual, passionate type of love. And this is the love between a husband and wife, and God gave it to us to reserve between in marriage for one another. That's the gift that he has given us to express with our spouse for our lives. We have philia love. It's a strong form of friendship love. And usually it's when these friends have been through much together, like those who serve in the armed forces or survival sports or have been through things. That means that you want to, that you have some special type of bond with each other. There's ludus love, which is a playful love. And it might be the type of love that we experience when we first get together with somebody, a potential partner, where it's all fun and exciting. But it can also be a word that describes love when we watch children playing, when they're relaxed and just full of joy. But that's for all of us, not just for children. That's for adults. I think sometimes as adults we need to learn to have fun, don't we? Abby, what are we going to be? Oh, she's gone upstairs, isn't she? I keep saying, I knew she was sitting over there earlier. I keep telling Abby, when we go to New Wine, it's all going to be about fun. It's compulsory. Yes, then we are the fun masters going away to have fun. Agape love. This is selfless love. The love that you extend to close families and friends where you're prepared to sacrifice something. Where you're prepared to not have your way, to not insist on your thoughts always being the ones that we have. And this is often a word that we use around Christianity with our brothers and sisters, that we have agape love for one another. It's a selfless love, like a family, a pragma love, a mature love, the love that comes from long-standing, faithfully committed relationships like marriages. And so today we pray for Paul and Gemma. They'll have more pragma love in their relationship. And this type of love is a giving love, not just receiving. It's a focus on what you're prepared to give to one another. And lastly, fellowship love, the ability to love ourselves. And this has two meanings. You can love yourself so much that we become obsessed with our appearances or fame or fortune, And that's really not what we're trying to get here from here. That's when we take something of what God has and we turn it into something that is not what God intended. The other meaning, and the God's meaning, is when we love ourselves properly as God intended, when we see ourselves through God's eyes, that we feel secure and right with God, that we then become comfortable enough that we have more love to give away. Because if we don't love ourselves properly, if we don't look after ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually, well, we limit our ability to love others. And as Christians, this is at the very heart of Jesus' teachings and in the letters from Paul. So God's love, it's complex, and it's made up of many facets. And God has given us this great gift to enjoy to the full. I think part of our misunderstanding when we look at just four letters making up one small word is that we don't quite fully understand it. We use one word liberally. But God's love has many aspects to it, much that he wants us to experience. And it's he who we have to go to learn what love is all about. We can't expect another human being to give us this type of love. When we look for one other human, which sometimes happens in marriages and relationships, to fulfill all that type of love, then there's going to be problems. That's a big ask of someone, to fulfill all of that. We need to know God's love. God is the one that likes to give all of this to us. He is the one who can fulfill our needs and equip us. Because then he'll give us more and more and more. So when we read about love in this chapter, we need to read it and hold on to the many meanings and the implications for our lives. And it's the flavor for the whole Bible itself. It is all about this complex, detailed, amazing love from Yahweh, from the great I Am. Understanding it, looking into this gift, takes a lifetime. Because he loves, we can love. To understand love, we need to know God. Being able to love as believers is not a human achievement. It has to be divine in origin. We need to get love from its proper source. And when we love from that source, that's when people see God in us. That's when they see that there's something different about the way we live our lives. They can see him in us. I had a conversation with someone recently. Don't panic, it's neither of you here. Who said to me they didn't understand religion and there was just no need for it. He couldn't see the point. As long as people stopped doing wrong, focused on doing right, and were good people, looking after one another, then everything would be okay. The world would be right. And so he just can't see what God has to do with it. So I asked him, because I like to ask challenging questions, what framework was he using to understand love and to determine what was good and what was evil? And he said, well, what do you mean? And I explained that we all had different understandings of what good was and what evil was. Just think of people like Hitler or Mother Teresa. You know, their understandings of how they lived things out were very different to people around them. So whose framework do we use to determine good and evil and to understand the basis of love? And he ended up saying that he couldn't answer that question. He hadn't thought about it like that, because actually he was just using his own framework and expecting the rest of the world to live by his framework and understanding of good and evil. And I've used this box to illustrate that love is a gift. And it's a gift from God. You take out God from all of what love is, then what is it? If it doesn't come from God, if you take him out of the equation, what's the source? It all becomes a bit meaningless and pointless and is then open up to all manner of interpretations. If it's something that I create or I imagine or I give out, then I live around my own definition of what love is and what I want it to be. And one life gets tough, as it does, I might be tempted to change the parameters to suit myself so that I would still be good by my own definition. And if we were all to do that, our own definitions, our own parameters, and our own goalposts that keep moving, where would we be? Ultimately, understanding love, divine love, is when we accept that it's not all about us or our perspective. No other faith talks about love like the Christian faith does. What it looks like, what it feels like, or how to experience it. Only God and his Son Jesus can provide real and true love. Whatever love you are experiencing, make sure its source is from God. Or the one who's loving you, that their source is from God. Because love is dangerous. It's challenging, and people enter into it lightly and don't realize the true meaning and the long-term cost of it. Wrecked marriages, broken families, troubled lives, low self-esteem, lack of self-love, all points to people not knowing the source of where love comes from. Those that have not known God do not know how to love. We can all experience many aspects of love by following our feelings and emotions. And lots of adults have followed their feelings into Eros love, believing that they know real and true love, only to find that after a while, it doesn't sustain you. You need the complete package of love to sustain us in our lives and the lives that we share with other people. God is love. It's not that just God is loving and sometimes God loves. It's not that he finds people or objects and he thinks, well, they're worthy of his love, so he's going to love them. That's not God's love. That's a type of human love when it doesn't come from the source. God's very nature is love. He loves us for who we are. And it doesn't depend on who we are, but he totally loves each and every one of us, no matter who we are or what we've done. This is who he is. And it's only in him that we find that type of love. God showed us his love when he sent Jesus to us as a baby in a stable in Bethlehem to show the world how much he loves us, that he wanted a way that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be intimate again with him. For centuries, he had been so faithful, so loving, and time again, people just like us had let him down. Again and again, God sent his people away. He let their enemies devour them. But then he chose a way to welcome us back. He had a way that would bring us back to him. He found a way that would allow for the forgiveness of sins. He loved us so much that he wants us to be in full receipt of the whole package of his love. He wants us to experience all of his love and to have life and life in all its fullness. The fact of the matter is, the real meaning of love and the true source of life are only discerned at the cross. We will never understand love if we start from a human perspective. We need to understand love from the cross. We have to start with all of God's faithfulness, his love, his promises, his provision, and the many chances he has given through the ages. And then to the love we see in Jesus. His desire that we could get a glimpse of who he fully is through the character of Jesus meant that he would suffer pain, brutality, the worst of humankind, false accusations, isolation, desertions, so that we could be forgiven of all of our wrongdoing. He loved us so much that he went to battle death so that it would be overcome and open up a way for us to live in eternity with Jesus in a perfect life. This is love. This is the divine source of love. This is where this gift comes from. A love so overwhelming, so pure and so full and so costly. And we need to handle it carefully and in the way in which it was intended. There can be no other choice. To deal with it lightly, to deal with it in part, to ignore bits of it, to deny its source, and to deny what Christ did on the cross, is not fully receiving it. So in receiving this gift, it comes with a high level of responsibility, which is why today it's important that we celebrate things like Paul and Gemma's 10 years of faithful commitment to one another. Because that's celebrating who God is. That he is the victor. And as believers, we have to manage this gift with care and in the way it was intended. Because we can't love from here, not on human perspective, like attractiveness or power or money, because that love will never last. We have to learn to love like God loves, being forever faithful, forever forgiving, and forever putting it into action. We need the love that lasts, the love that builds one another up. We need to make sure that we're constantly filled from its source, that this is where we go to time and time again. His love, and only his love, is made complete in us. And when you think about the complexity of that love and how it's made complete when we are involved and take from its source, I think that's mind-blowing. I think that is amazing. That is amazing grace. And when we grasp that, when we understand that the love that God has for us, that it compels us to love others in the same way. Because when you receive this, all of it, and it fills you, you can't just contain it. You're compelled to let it come out of you, to overflow, to go on to other people. It's the love that we display. That when other people say, what is it about those Christian people? It's the love from God that's come into us, that completes us, that fulfills us, and is overflowing. That's what they see. God's love. God's love that sent us the Saviour of the world means that we have to be different. Not that we have to be, but that it makes us different. We cannot stay the same. We're new creations, and we're in the process of being transformed more and more into his likeness, and the rest of the world falls away. We're no longer free to have our main priority to be our career, or how much money or financial security we have, or how much free time or time we spend on hobby, holidays, or even our illnesses. Our priority, when we've received God's love, is his mission for the world. His instruction to us to go and use that love to make disciples and be discipled. As believers, our life is to make God's mission our priority. And that's the cost of having God's love in us. His love in us compels us to grow his kingdom then it's a sign of the Holy Spirit at work. So how do we manage and look after such a gift? Such a responsibility? First, know its source. Get to know God. Really know it. You can't just take bits from what I might say on a Sunday. I might be saying it wrong. Who knows? You've got to know God for yourself. You've got to study his word. You've got to know how it comes together, the big story and the little story. Know what you believe in. If you're not studying your Bible regularly, you're not going to know the source. It's going to run out. Bible study. Get to know God. Having Jesus in your life, allowing him to guide you, instruct you, talk with him, listening with him, prayer. It's really important to stay connected. And that's why, as believers, we want to be together to study, to worship, to discuss, to discern, to challenge, to wrestle with all of what we see in the Bible. We need to read and know about the character of Jesus because that's who God sent us, so we would know who he is. We need to really get into that. It means doing the work on your own sin. It means repenting, 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 and repenting, and repenting, and repenting. He forgives. But we have to ask. We have to do some work and let go of the things that are stopping us from being really free. We need to be cleansed from the sin in our lives. And we need to understand how to unwrap this gift of love. To understand how to start to put it into practice in our own lives and to walk with others, coming alongside them to help them put it into practice as well. We need to look and understand the different types of love that is referred to in the Bible and that Jesus displays. We can't expect one person in our lives to fulfill all of what it is. We need to get it from God and make sure we're living in community and living with people who are going to help us be the very best that we can possibly be. And when we've received him, when we've got to know him, when we're filling ourselves up regularly, then we're equipped to go and love others. You have to know and love God first. And you have to know and love yourself as well. And I know many of you find that really hard. But that's who God is. Part of his love is that you learn to love yourself just as you are. Because if you don't know how to love yourself, you're going to struggle to love other people. And that is not what God intends. And when you've received from God, you can see the worth that you have from him, how precious you are. And it should leave you with no choice that you have to love yourself and want to love others for them to receive the divine love. Receiving this love is costly because once you've received this gift, it doesn't stop there. You have to roll up your sleeves and love others in a new way. Paul and Gemma have been married for 10 years, and I would imagine, having been married for 15 years, that you can be really tested in your love. That you're promising to work through and find new ways of loving each other and sustaining each other and keeping on, keeping on. That comes from God. When we love others who aren't perhaps the most obvious lovable people, when we are loving those who don't yet know God, when we love the broken people, when we welcome them and give them worth, then that is showing the love that God has poured into us out into the world. That's the point at which they get to come into contact, to brush up to Jesus, to understand who he is. We need to display. It shouldn't be wrapped up and hidden. The love that God has poured out to us for everybody in the world to see, that they will see that there's something different and they want to know its source as well. We don't have to prove ourselves worthy of his love or expect others to demonstrate it before we can pour out love into them. Just as God first loved us, we can love others first. He loved us before anything else, and he poured his love into us. That's what we're to do with other people, because it will never run out. It will always sustain you. And there is always, 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 always plenty to come from its source. And when you've got it, when you get it, you will hunger for it. And you just want a taste of it, and you want more and more and more. So I pray that for all of us, that we will choose willingly and lovingly and hungrily to receive this gift fully from God. Because he, and only he, will bring out the best in us, enabling us to come alongside others, that the best will come out in them. I don't believe that any of us fully knows God's love. Don't believe you've been there, you've done that, you understand it, you've done the Bible study, you've got all of that, because you just can't. It's a lifetime of commitment to keep opening the box, to keep looking in, to find out what else he's got for you. And that's my prayer for us today. That we will just keep going back to the source. That we will keep diving in, asking for more. Shall we pray?